For the last few weeks, Mark and I have been kind of co-tagging and co-preaching a series of messages on connected to the family of God. We've used Ephesians 2:19 as kind of our base for this sermon. There, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens. You used to be, but now fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." That was not just descriptive of the folks at Ephesus, that's descriptive of us as well. At one time, we were foreigners and aliens to the family, the household of God, but now, because of what Jesus has done, making peace with God, reconciling us with Him possible, we who have now submitted our lives to Jesus are fellow citizens with God's people and are members then of God's household. And so in this series, we're talking about what it means to be connected to the family of God. Specifically, what that means to be connected to the family of God here at university. And so we're asking the question, what does that look like? What does membership in the family of God, the house of God, here at University Church of Christ look like? If one of our visitors here today were to come to us and say, "Hey, I would like to become part of the family of God here at university, what is expected of me?" That's what we're talking about. What would our answer to you be? We have identified six markers or expectations of what it means, what it looks like to be a member of the family of God here at university. These six are not exhaustive. We don't mean to suggest that. We don't mean to imply that at all. But these are foundational markers of what it looks like when you are committed to a particular place, a part, a church in the family of God. And there are six of them we've been talking about. We've gone over this list now every Sunday that we've been here since we started this. We're going to keep on doing it because we want you to know these are some of the foundational markers of what it means to belong to this family of God. Number one, it means I am committed to following the example and the lead of our spiritual leaders, our shepherds, those that God has placed to lead us spiritually. It means if I'm a member here, I'm committed to following their example and their lead. Number two, it means I'm committed to participating in the various gatherings and assemblies of this church family, both the big ones like we're in today and the various small ones that meet both here in the building and in different places throughout the week. I'm committed to getting together with other believers for the purpose of being encouraged and being encouragement to them. Number three, it means I'm committed to putting off the old self and putting on the new self. We talked about this last week. It means I'm committed to living up to my calling in Jesus as a follower of Him. Number four, we're going to talk about this one today. It means that I am committed to finding a place to serve. We're going to talk about that one this morning. The fifth one, Mark will talk about next week. It means I'm committed to financially supporting the work of this church family. And number six, it means I'm committed to growing in the likeness and in the image of Jesus Christ. Now again, that's not an exhaustive list. We could look and talk about some other things, but those are six that we thought were foundational and that it would be good for us to talk about here together on Sunday mornings. Let's look at number four this morning. Being connected to the family of God means I'm going to make a commitment to find my place to serve. We're going to start this morning in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 and following. So whatever copy of scriptures you're using, whether printed or electronic, if you want to follow along with me, turn in that to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to jump in down around verse 7. While you're finding that, that's your key to actually find that passage of scripture in your copy of the scriptures this morning. While you're looking for that, let me give you just a real quick background to this letter that we call 1 Peter. Obviously, when Peter wrote it, he didn't give it the name 1 Peter. We've done that. It was just a letter that he wrote to Christians in the first century scattered throughout the Roman provinces of today, what would be known as modern Turkey. If you have a geographical map in your mind that you can kind of locate that, then that's where this letter was addressed nearly 2,000 years ago. It was a circular letter. And what we mean by that is that it was to be read at various congregations throughout a certain region of the ancient world. Those places are mentioned in verse 1 of chapter 1, where you've got several regions there mentioned where there were churches located, and this letter was written to those churches. Around the time Peter wrote this letter, scholars believe that waves of persecution were beginning to break out in various parts of the Roman Empire. And so Peter writes this letter as a shepherd to encourage our ancient brothers and sisters to stand fast in the grace of God that was theirs in Jesus. Now, with that little bit of background to 1 Peter, we're going to jump in as he begins to kind of wind things down around what we call chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, where we read these words. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another and do it without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now, let's think about this passage here for just a few moments. Peter begins with the words, "The end of all things is near." Kind of brings to mind a caricature you used to see on certain TV shows of a guy walking around the streets of a big city with a board on one side and one on the back side that says, "The end is near," right? Of course, most people think of someone like that as being weird, you know, kind of crazy. Well, Peter was one of the first to say this. The end of all things is near. Now, here's a question for you. Peter wrote this nearly 2,000 years ago. So, how did he intend that statement to be understood? It's a difficult question to answer. Scholars have wrestled with that. It's been nearly 2,000 years since Peter wrote these words. In what sense, then, are these words true? The end of all things is near. Was Peter mistaken in his belief that the end of all things was near, or is there some other way to understand this statement, the end of all things is near? Well, I don't really know what Peter meant. It's kind of hard to know that. It has been a lot of time to pass since then, but here is something I do know. For every one of us, the end of time as we know it is indeed near. One thing that can be said of every individual gathered here today hearing my voice is this: unless the Lord returns first, every one of us in this room will die. And the odds are that no one hearing my voice here today will be alive on this date a mere 100 years from now, right? From that perspective, the end is relatively near, right? For all of us. Now, we don't know when the Lord will return. He may return in our lifetime, he may not. But if he doesn't, here is one thing we know: we're all going to die. And when we die, we're going to meet our Creator. And when we meet our Creator, Scripture says we're going to give an account for how we've lived our lives. And so all of our lives are lived in the view of eternity. The shadow, someone has called it, in the shadow of eternity. We are living this morning in the shadow of eternity. It may be another 2,000 years. It may be 5,000 years before Jesus returns. We don't know. But this we know: we're going to die long before that ever happens. And when we die, the next thing we know is we're going to be standing before our Creator, giving an account for how we've chosen to live our lives in this world. That's what Scripture says. So in view of that, the fact that we are living in the shadow of eternity, Peter makes four demands upon his readers. Did you notice them? What did he say? The end of time is near. The end is near, he says. And then he says four things. Be clear-minded so you can pray. Love others deeply, offer hospitality, and serve others. Now, we could talk about each one of these demands today, and that'd make a pretty good lesson, I think. We could talk about how one day we're going to give an account to the Lord about the role prayer has played in our lives. Peter says, in the shadow of eternity in which you're living, be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray. followers of Jesus are to be a praying people. How are we doing in that area? That'd be good to talk about this morning, but we're not going to talk about that today. We could also talk about number two. In the shadow of eternity, we are called to love each other deeply. And love, the evidence of love, is that it covers over a multitude of sins. We could talk about how one day we're going to give an account to God about how well we've loved others. How are we doing on that? How well are we loving each other? That'd be a good thing to talk about. We're not going to talk about that today either. Number three, he says, offer hospitality. How well did we welcome people into our space, whatever that space may be, our home, our office, an apartment, a dorm room, wherever we are, how welcome are people around us? Do we welcome people into our space, and do we do it grudgingly or do we do it happily? That'd make a good lesson, but we're not going to talk about that either. We're going to talk about number four. Peter says, also making this demand upon his people, serve each other. Each one, all of y'all, if we're going to put it in Southern language, should use whatever gift he has received to do what? You're looking at it. What does it say? Each one should use, not hide, not put on a shelf, not hoard it, but should use it. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to do what? Serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now, some might not agree with this statement, but I think you can make a pretty good case from Scripture that every baptized believer has graciously received at least one gift from God to be used in service to others. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7, Paul says, each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. In Romans 12 and verse 6, Paul writes, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. And then he goes on in that passage, and he does this in other places as well in Scripture. He lists different gifts of the Spirit. So this is not meant to be an exhaustive list, but he mentions things like the gift of prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. Combine passages like those with Jesus' teaching in the parable of the talents. Do you remember that parable? Three men were given a certain amount of money. Their master was going to take a trip. They were to use that money in a way that was faithful to their master. Two of them did. One of them didn't. The point of that parable is that we are to be good stewards and faithfully use the gifts, the resources that we've been given in ways that honor our master. You put all those together, and I think you've got a pretty strong case that as members of God's family, as members of God's household, we're expected to faithfully use the gifts and resources God has graciously given us in service to others. So here's my question to you this morning. Are we being good stewards of the gift or gifts God has given us when we fail to use those gifts? If God has gifted you in some way, if He has equipped you for service in His kingdom, if He's given you the ability and the resources and everything you need to be of service to others, and you don't use that gift, are you being a faithful steward of what God has given you? Am I being a faithful steward of what God has given me when I don't use what gifts and abilities and resources and talents He has given me in ways that honor Him, build up His church, and bless other people? Am I being a faithful steward if I don't use what God has given me? The answer to that question is no, I'm not. Nor are you if for whatever reason you're not using what God has given you in ways that honor Him and bless others. Scripture, I think, teaches us that we must always be under the conviction that everything we have, whether we're talking material blessings or spiritual blessings, everything we have is a gracious gift to us from God and is to be used not merely in ways that please us or suit us or benefit us, but in ways that please and benefit the giver of those gifts and those resources and those abilities, and in ways that bless others. So again, let me ask you this question. I'm going to rephrase it a little bit differently this morning, but it's basically the same question. Are you being a good steward of the gift or gifts that God has given you? That's not an unimportant question, is it? in light of the fact that we live in the shadow of eternity and that one day we will stand before God and give an account to Him for things done in the body, we are one day going to give an account to God for how we've used the things He's given us, both material blessings and spiritual blessings as well. So that's not an unimportant question to think about. Am I faithfully using what God has given me in a way that honors Him and blesses people? Peter says, in light of the fact that you're living in the shadow of eternity, use what God has given you to serve others. Now, it occurs to me that someone might be thinking in their minds, well, okay, I get it. I see what you're saying. That makes sense. I agree with you. But I don't really know what my gift is. I don't really know what it is that God has equipped me to do in service to others. All right, that's a fair question. So what might you need to do to figure that out? Here are four suggestions real quick. If you've got a place, if you're keeping up with them in your notes, if you want to write this down, think about them later, you can do this. Number one, pray about it. If you don't know what God has equipped you or gifted you to do, would it not make sense to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? How have you gifted me? What can I do that will honor you and bless others? What does Scripture say? Ask and it will be, seek and it will knock and the door will be opened. Would God not honor that prayer if we asked Him, Father, I don't really know what you've gifted me to do. Would you show me? Would you make it clear? Would you help me find what it is you want me to do that will honor you and bless other people? Pray about it. Number two, in addition to number one, here's a second thing you might consider doing. Ask those who know you best, what do you think my gifts might be? Sometimes people who know us well may see things in us that we don't even see in ourselves, right? And so here's something you could do. If you genuinely don't really know what it is that maybe God has gifted you, is preparing you, equipping you to do, ask somebody who knows. Now, don't ask a stranger. Ask someone who knows you well. You know, you've known me for X number of days or months or years or whatever. What do you see in me that I could use for God? What do you see in me that I'm not doing that God might have gifted me to do? I just don't see it. What do you see? Would that be a fair question to ask someone who knows you fairly well? Maybe they could point something out to you that you just don't right now see about yourself. Number three, experiment. Try something. Do something. Sign up for something. Go somewhere. Take a chance. Get involved in something. Find out, hey, this isn't bad. I like doing this. This makes me feel pretty good. Man, I hate this. This is horrible. Okay, now we know. You're not called to be whatever that might be. Experiment. Try a few things. Look for something. Sign up for something. Do something. Find out if maybe you've got an ability in that area. Maybe you don't. Okay, now we know. Now I'll look over here. Now I'll do something else. Don't be afraid to experiment and find out. Number four. Here's something you can do. Take a spiritual gifts inventory. Let me give you an address. How many of you have ability to get online? How many of you are online right now? How many of you are checking your Facebook right now? Come on. You're in church. Fess up, right? Don't lie. Don't lie. All right, if you've got the ability to get online, don't do it now because you'll shut our server down if everybody in here does it right now. Here is somewhere where you can go. And you can take a very brief, free spiritual assessment that will give you very helpful information so that you might be able to begin to identify where God is equipping you to work in His kingdom. Here it is. It's gifts, G-I-F-T-S, .churchgrowth.org. No www, don't do that. Just gifts.churchgrowth.org. If you'll go to that site, you'll see a free online spiritual gifts assessment tool that you can take that'll print you off several pages. You'll answer some questions, and it'll help pinpoint some areas that you might be prepared and equipped to serve in. Do that. Here are four things you can do to begin to uncover and discover where it is God may be preparing and equipping you to serve in His kingdom in ways that bless and honor Him and that bless and help others. Okay? And I think if you'll do these four things, I have no doubt in my mind but what you'll have some answers to your question, what could I do? What might I be prepared? What is God equipping and preparing me to do in service to others? I think if you'll do these four things, you'll find an answer, possibly several answers to that question. Now, here is something our church leadership wants to see happen and is trying to make happen. We want everybody who's a member, who sees himself or herself as a member of this church family, to find their place to serve in this church. It is our belief and conviction that every baptized member of this family has something that he or she can do to serve others and help this family be the light and the blessing that we've been called to be in this community. So, in addition to participating in this weekly activity, we have set the goal of getting every one of you who considers himself or herself to be a member of this church involved in at least one ministry, just one ministry, one activity that you're not currently involved in. Okay? So, in addition to being here, we've set the goal of trying to get every member of this church involved in at least one ministry or one activity. Now, many of you are already way beyond that. You're involved in many different ministries and activities, and that's great. If you are, keep serving. Keep using whatever God has given you, whatever abilities, whatever gifts, whatever resources He has blessed you with in ways that honor Him and bless others. Keep doing what you're doing. To those of you who are not currently plugged into a ministry or an activity beyond this right here, here are two things that we're doing as a church leadership. Number one, we're praying for you. We're praying that God will call you into some act of service or ministry where you can use your gifts to honor Him and bless others. And number two, we're committed to doing everything we can to helping you find your place to serve. This is what we call a service form. And if you consider yourself to be a member of this church family, we want you to take one of these forms. If you're a visitor today, just let the form pass right on down by you. Don't worry about it. We're not worried about you today. We'd love for you to be involved, but this is just for folks who consider themselves members of this church family. If you consider yourself to be a member of this family, take a form and prayerfully read over it between now and next Sunday. We're not asking you to do that this morning. We don't have time. We want you to prayerfully consider one activity that you can give yourself to that you might enjoy and be fulfilled in doing. We want you to get this form back to us by next Sunday. Now, if you were one of the 15 or so, listen to me, if you were one of the 15 or so who participated in the University 101 class back in January, don't take a form. We've got your information if you were in that class. But the rest of you, even if you filled one out last year, go ahead, take a form, fill it out again. You might have changed your mind on something, okay? There might be a new opportunity. This document is kind of fluid. It evolves and changes over time, so there might be something on there now that wasn't on there 6 months ago that you'd like to be a part of, and we want you to have a chance to indicate that you want to be a part. Now, like I said, you don't have to fill this out this morning, not asking for that, but we would like for you to prayerfully fill it out and get it back to us by next Sunday. Listen to me. Please do this. Please. Please. We're serious. We want to get you. We want you to use what God has given you in a way that blesses this church and helps us be the blessing to this community that God wants us to be. You say, well, I don't have to do that with this church. I do that on my own. Listen to me. Yes, we all have opportunities that God puts in front of us every day to be servants in this community that may or may not really have anything to do with any specific work that's going on in this church. And we need to be faithful to those opportunities. But here's the thing. We also have, I'm going to say this strongly, a responsibility to work in concert with each other, to work together as the University Church of Christ to be together and work together in ways that honor our Creator and bless this community as well. So I get it. I understand that there are things you can do on your own that we might not be involved in as a church. That's great. Use the gifts God has given you in those places and be faithful to that. But I also believe this. We're here on this corner for a reason. And we want to work in concert with each other to be the church in this community that God wants us to be. Together, we can do more for the kingdom in this community than we can as a bunch of independent contractors all going out there doing our own thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I'm not telling you to stop doing whatever you're doing, wherever you work, wherever you live, whatever you're involved in. Keep doing it. Be the light that you've been called to be in that place. But I also know God has an expectation of this family, and He wants us as a family of believers to be a light to this community. And so we need to work in concert with each other. So that's what this is about. Find something that this church is doing, and let's do it together. Find a place, one place. At least is all we're asking of those of you who consider yourself to be a member of this church. I know some of you physically feel like I just can't do much anymore. There are some things on here that you can do even if you can't really get around very well anymore. Okay? A couple of other things here just real quick. If you see something on this service form that you don't understand what that is, hey, it looks kind of interesting, but I don't know what it means. Talk to one of us on staff, ministry staff. Talk to some of our elders as you leave the building today. One of us ought to be able to answer your question and tell you, well, here's what that is and here's what it entails. And so if you see something on there you don't understand and you want to know more about it before you sign up for it, which is a good thing to do, just ask one of us and we can explain more about what that might be. And finally, one last thing. If you think you've got a gift or a skill that doesn't seem to fit any of the areas that are highlighted on the service form, there's a place for you to share that on the back. And here's what we'll do with that. It may be that we know of a place where that skill is needed and can be plugged in. And if there's nowhere like that, here's the commitment we'll make to you. We'll pray about it and see how God might use that at some point in the future. That we can at least do that. If you think you've got a skill or a gift that just doesn't seem to fit anywhere, we'll prayerfully ask God, hey, show us what to do with this. And I think He'll answer that prayer too. We'd like to have these back by next Sunday. And then our pledge to you is to begin working on these things and get us going. If you've been coming here for a while, and I like the way Mark has said this a few times at the close of his sealing sermons, you think this is a pretty cool place to be. We want to invite you to put down spiritual roots with us. We want you to be part of our family. And so maybe there's been something that has kept you from doing that. We want to urge you, come on, get with us. Let's be the family to each other that we've been called to be. You can do that by letting any of us on the ministry team know. Our elders are positioned at the exits each Sunday. Talk to them. Just say, I want to have a conversation about this. Let me talk with you. They'll set it up and they'll have that conversation with you. If you've not confessed Jesus as Lord and been baptized into His body, His family, His universal family of God, we invite you this morning, we would even urge you this morning to make that commitment to Jesus. The best decision any of us can make is to give our lives to Jesus and let Him begin to work in and through us in ways that bless others. So if you've never given your life to Christ, we invite you this morning to do that. And as I urged you back earlier this year, folks, let's get on board. I used that phrase a couple of Sundays ago, and Charlie went out and bought this for me. I used the expression, all aboard. Wake up, Tyson. Let's get on board. It's time. Let's get on board. Okay? This is not a perfect church. You won't find one anywhere. Our shepherds are trying. I've seen more prayer in our elders' room in the last couple of months than I've seen in several decades. We're praying. We're begging God to bless us. And we want to follow. Our shepherds will be the first to tell you they're not perfect men. They've made mistakes. We've all made some mistakes. Let's not hold that against them, okay? Let's get on board. Let's get about the Father's business in this community. There are people spiritually dying in this community. They need Jesus. They need God to be made visible. They're there. You work with them. You live among them. You go to school with them. You're related to some of them. Let's get on board. Let's get about the Father's business of reaching people with the good news of Jesus, reaching people whose lives are broken and messed up, and get them in touch with the one who can make things better. Let's get on board. Let's get this gospel train rolling. There's a reason why we're here on this corner. Let's be faithful to use what God has given us in ways that honor Him and bless this community. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, let's bless somebody. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.